Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the Big Willie, Rich Stambolian.
What's up, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up? How you feeling? How you doing?
Can you do the Big Willie like in WCW? Remember the Big Willie?
No, what's the Big Willie?
What was the dance that he used to do?
The Big Willie?
You know.
Are you calling me a Big Willie?
Didn't Ernest Miller do like this dance? What did they call it?
The Big Wiggle.
The Big Wiggle. No, but that wasn't Ernest Miller. It was...
That was Norman Smiley.
That was Norman Smiley. Yes, thank
Norman
you very
Smiley
much.
Did
both
the big
dancing
wiggle.
Boys. both dancing guys. Listen, I've had a hell of a week. We did not do a show this Friday. I did nothing this week because I spoke about the freaking potato way too much.
You did. You recursed.
And I told you people, and I'm not even exaggerating at this point. When this mystic put that curse on me, that Persian mystic put that potato curse on me. Mm. It's carried on, and this was the anniversary of the potato incident of 2019. It was right around now, and you know, people brought it up. I spoke about it way too much. Next thing I know, I have pneumonia. I have an upper respiratory infection. I got a sinus infection. I am suffering right now. I'm fine. I'm on antibiotics. I'm doing way better. I'm not really coughing as much, but holy moly. I can never talk about this potato.
Yeah, dude, you should stop talking. It's like Macbeth. You can't say the name.
I can't say the name, dude.
And was it a Persian mystic or was it a Persian mystical?
A Persian mystical, like the rapper mystical. Yeah, that's what it was. That was the problem, dude. It was just
huge.
Mystical.
It was mystical, and he threw a potato at you.
Dude, at the end of the day, that's the real story, man. It was mystical. He's like, yo, and he just threw a potato. I mean, I was done. Guys, a lot to talk about. Obviously, Full Gear Fallout last night, 5-hour pay-per-view. Holy moly, this show went on forever. What was it? 4 hours? 5 hours?
It was done at like 12:30, I think, which I was pleasantly surprised. I was actually up, you know, like I had like a nice, lovely night. There was a Friendsgiving event, which was great. And then when I got home, I was like energetic. I managed to watch the rest of it. I was very happy.
I want to talk about this, but I want to turn you on to something really cool.
Please.
Okay. It is
Game of Thrones.
We'll talk about I cannot talk about Game of Thrones in my house anymore. My wife is so over it. I went on this rant about Winds of Winter.
Oh, wow.
She's like, you got to stop. I can't do it anymore. It's every day now. I found a really delicious whiskey drink. They have it at the liquor store on Bell Boulevard. Nobody else cares except for Rich for this. It is whiskey peanut butter.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Okay? I put it in my coffee a little bit. Freaking delicious.
That sounds really, really good, to be honest. I had I had a whiskey I never tried before. I had some Breckenridge last night, and it was
delicious.
Top to bottom, phenomenal. we need alcohol sponsors on this show.
We do. We should get Pappy Van Winkle to advertise. Only we could afford it. No, we can't even afford it. They just give it to us.
This episode is brought to you by PBR and
by PBR. So big show last night. You know, I had a very busy day for someone that's suffering to this level, but I made sure to catch the pay-per-view. I wanted to watch it live. I had a serious case of FOMO by not being there. All of our friends were messaging me and asking, you know, if we're going to be there. Will Washington was like, dude, you guys coming? John Alba, are you guys coming? JJ,
did you really?
You guys coming? I really did.
Did you really have FOMO?
I really did. All right. I wanted to be at the show. I really did.
I had a quick back and forth with Issa, and she assumed I was there, and she was like, I'm at this bar, and I was like, I'm not in Newark.
I'm trying to get together with her. Maybe tomorrow I'm going to see her tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm probably going to, if I'm in the city, if I'm up to it, go see her.
If you're feeling better, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it was a lot of fun. I messaged Tony, and I was like, hey, Tony, listen, I can't make it, but hope you have a great show. And he's like, dude, you're like dying. Don't even think about the show.
He's like, let me fly you in.
Yeah, he's like, let me send my chopper to your house. And then he like throws a little ladder and I just climb it.
You know, I don't think I'd ever be able to make it up a chopper ladder.
I don't think I could either. But
it's too floppy.
So before the show, Tony announced that Takeshita is all elite.
So
they also put out the trailer for AEW Fight Forever. So, and CM Punk was removed from the cover. So I want to talk about this before we go into this full card. I got to tell you, I don't think the game looks great, but people that I know from the gaming industry, because I used to cover tech before wrestling, they're telling me that the gameplay is really good.
It might be one of those cases where the game looks like Basura, but it's rad as F. I get that feeling.
It's not a simulation. So I get it, right? I get that it's not going to look like WWE, you know, their series of games. However, you know, I know that they're going more for like the cartoonish, like the No Mercy feel. Mm. The people that have touched this game have said that it feels very, the casual video gamer could pick it up and figure it out in like 5 minutes.
That's the beauty of it.
That's my problem. I can't.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I can't play the new WWE games. The mechanics, I haven't played it for so long, I can't pick it up. It's just like playing like Call of Duty or any of those new first-person shooters. I haven't played it in so long that it's no longer fun for me because the mechanics, it's going to take me a while.
I don't have that problem because I'm a gamer. You know what I mean? So it's like,
you're a Game Boy. I know.
I'm a Game Boy. I've been a Game Boy for my entire life. But the mechanics I can get, it's that, like, for me, if I'm being like hypercritical about it, it's, I understand that it's not a perfect simulation. The graphics I feel like are still not 100%. I know what they're going for. You know what I mean? But I feel like they're not there yet. It looks smooth as hell though. That's the other thing. And you know what? Great roster to put in a video game. Everybody's so unique looking, and I hope there's a ton of customization features, you know?
Yeah.
And customization to the point where you can make, and this is, again, my fanboy nonsense, where you can make a perfect looking, let's say, Naito or Okada or a Muda or a Hayabusa, you know what I mean? And have those movesets in the game just like those old THQ games had.
You know, I'm gonna make my original No Mercy character. You know what his name was?
Zarian Andrew.
Andranik.
Ooh, that's your tattoo.
That's my tattoo. Yeah. Andrew. People don't realize I have a misspelling on my tattoo. I went to Jamaica Avenue when I was 15 years old to impress a freaking girl. And I was like, I know a guy that could do a tattoo. This Guyanese dude named Yaya.
Boom.
Did my tattoo in like a hole in a wall. It's missing spots. It's the worst. It's a prison tattoo on my back. It's unbelievable.
But that's what happens when you don't know any better when you're 15 and you try to get a tattoo.
Idiot 15-year-old.
I was talked out of a tattoo when I was that age also, and I'm glad I was talked out of it.
Yeah. And, you know, Yaya fucked me up with that tattoo. What can I say? So
that's your only tattoo.
That's my only tattoo, yeah.
Well, besides, I know you have the full-blown Cody tattoo on your chest.
That's real big. Huge, dude. Just on the nips. Just on the nip.
double American Nightmare is covering the nips. Yeah.
Someone just messed me. He's like, you look really thin. Yeah, I've lost like 15 pounds in the last 2-3 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, you do look thin. Kenzie in the chat says, Yaya, that's my boy's tattoo artist off the Ave.
Off Jamaica Avenue?
Wow.
No, it's not. Get out of here. So he had to have just started. He had to have just started when I got that tattoo. Had to have just started.
Yo, go and get it fixed, man.
I should. I should go to Yaya. I should go back to Yaya. He was a nice dude.
25 years later, go get that.
25
fixed,
years
man.
Later. Hysterical, dude. I'd love to see what he's doing now. He was like a kid. He was a young dude.
It'd be funny if he just didn't get any better.
That would be. And I just go back to him. He's like, dude, I'll do it again. And he just does like nothing. So let's talk about this. What did you overall? What did you think of the show?
I thought it was a hit. I thought it was a home run. I loved it. MG and I had our little pre-show yesterday, and MG was saying he was hoping that the stories were all going to be told in the ring to wrap up whatever storylines are happening or make them go forward. And that's exactly what happened. From top to bottom, I thought it was a very exciting show. I loved pretty much every match. There were a couple of like duds in there, but AEW does a good time of keeping the timing on those duds pretty short. How'd you feel?
I enjoyed the show. We'll talk about some of the slowdowns here. I think it was very long, and I think that plays a big part in it. There was a lot of matches. Zero Hour was packed. Let's start off with that. You had Orange Cassidy, Trent Barretta, Chuck Taylor, Rocky Romero, and Evil Danhausen defeating QT Marshall, Aaron Solo, Nick Camarado, Lee Johnson, and Cole Carter. Evil Danhausen came out at the end, near the end of the match. He was very evil. No funny stuff. No gimmick. Actually, he was all gimmicked up, but no, none of the funny stuff. He came out. Came with a spike. All right, yeah. Whatever. Nice, nice, easy opener. You had Rocky. You had Ricky defeating Brian Cage to advance in the title eliminator tournament. You know, this was a. I know that they're trying to build Ricky and Brian's back, and they're trying to do something with him. I'm hoping to see more of him,
yes.
Both of these guys, and see what they do. But the big story of Zero Hour came down to Eddie Kingston and Jun Akiyama.
Brother.
You know, they beat the crap out of each other. Eddie was in tears, genuinely. He thanked everybody and hyped the show at the end. What did you think of this match? I think this was, you know, and Tony Khan giving people these type of matches says a lot about his personality, right? He did this for Eddie. Yes. He didn't do this for AEW. He didn't do he did this because he felt that he deserved this match. He put it together. Eddie's wanted to wrestle Jun Akiyama his entire life. It's one of his heroes in pro wrestling. And he gave it to him.
If you continue the trend to put Eddie Kingston versus his fantasy Japanese matchoffs to start a show, I think that's a winning recipe. Because, listen, Eddie Kingston's over as hell. Everybody loves him, right?
Yeah.
Him being able to... being vocal about like the influence that Japan has had on his style, everybody knows that. Having legendary Japanese wrestlers face him to open a pay-per-view, I think they need to keep the trend going. You know, it's too bad that he can't do a Muda because I don't think he's on that list for final opponents. But, you know, do it on the next one. Do it on the next pay-per-view. Warm up the crowd to that point where they're hyped to see more wrestling, you know? And you plus, know, like, the dude cuts an emotional promo.
And this is one of those moments where you say, you know, it's not taken away from the younger talent, you know? And like, you look at it, you're like, well, why is this match happening? You're taking away. I'm like, no, it's a cool moment. If you're a big wrestling fan, you're going to really enjoy this match. Mm-hmm. You're going to really be into it if you're a big wrestling fan. It wasn't really for to build a guy or anything. It was a match to have the match. And I get that exactly. Sometimes, you know, like this was fun to see for me as a guy that really loved that old Japan style, that hard hitting style of the 90s in Japan overall with Japanese wrestling. You know, that's the stuff that really like that was like, ooh, did you see this?
I'm going to quickly flash forward because I feel like we'll forget about it. But now that we're talking about the Japanese wrestling stuff, the fact that Jericho is wrestling Ishii next week
and he called him a young boy.
And he called him a young boy. He was like, you were my young boy when I was in WAR. And a beautiful reference, wrestling and romance, right?
Yeah.
From that mid-90s, like, Japan hard-hitting style. Very interesting, very wacky. And he was like, you know, like, your senpai is back.
Like, oh, my God.
Clean my boots, you know? Like, that stuff, like, that gets petered into these shows is, like, so delicious for wrestling fans.
It is. And it's nice little, like, it's something that you're not used to seeing because in WWE, you don't acknowledge other players. Like, you're your own bubble. Wrestling does not exist outside of your universe. Mm-hmm. So, it is cool to see references to, like, war or whatever. Noah, you're hearing DDT on that show.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite Japanese promotion, Wings.
Ooh.
I want a Victor Quiñones reference on AEW TV. Can we do that next week? Can somebody do a Victor Quiñones reference? Because Victor Quiñones is one of my favorite managers of all time because of how insane he was.
It's going to happen. And also, like, there's like this weird tie-in, too, with the Japanese stuff where Ospreay came out dressed as he got Hayabusa's family's blessing to do a replica mask from the mask maker.
Oh, very cool.
Did Hayabusa's stuff. So, yo, he looked awesome. He came out last night.
I didn't see the New Japan stuff yet. I haven't seen it.
You didn't see the Kenny thing?
I saw the Kenny thing. I didn't see any of the actual wrestling.
Oh, buddy.
I have to do that. That's what I'm doing this afternoon.
That sounds amazing. You want to go into the card from last night?
Let's go into the card, Rich.
All right. The main card started out with Jungle Boy Jack Perry defeating Luchasaurus in a steel cage match. Jungle Boy busted open very early. Ended up winning with an elbow off the top rope into the bear trap. It's fine. I don't want to see any more with these guys for some reason. I'm just like, I'm done with them. I don't know. How about you?
You know, couple things here. I thought they did a very good job, right? I have a problem when you leave the cage.
Really?
Right? Like, you got to make it, like, why are you leaving the cage?
Mm-hmm.
So Christian comes in, opens the cage door with his one arm. He gets expelled. They leave the cage to do nothing, to only go back in the cage.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you want more outside of the cage if they're going to do that? Or do you just stay in the cage?
The whole point of the cage for me is to contain you in the cage so nothing interferes. You don't screw it up. So if you're leaving, and this goes for WWE too, and everybody, they all fall for this trap. But when you leave the cage, give me a reason why you're leaving. Not just to go outside to do a spot on the outside without it being like a major spot. The only thing they really did was that slingshot into that Shawn Michaels 97 slingshot into the cage.
Great move.
But they didn't even get it from the proper point, like the viewpoint. So I don't know. I didn't like the escape, leaving the cage, but they worked really hard. You know, Jungle Boy was bleeding everywhere. Luchasaurus is very impressive. And it's over. So, this feud kind of got wonky to me.
Same here.
It might have hurt both of them a little bit. I think Christian's injury played a part in this. You know, I thought the match was very good. I want to see what they do with the story, however. I think the story suffered, but the match was really good. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. You're 100% right. I
thought it was a fantastic match. I thought it was a fantastic opening match.
It was great, but I'm glad I hope it's over between them, because for me, it just, like, this kind of feels like, you know, I should like this, but I'm kind of over it. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same feeling I have when I watch Sheamus, where I'm like, on paper, I should really like this, but I don't, you know? And this also kind of ties into something MG and I were talking, which we didn't mention to you, but now is the perfect time. We need to do an episode of a Ring of Honor draft.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And I think either Jungle Boy or Luchasaurus would fit perfectly in that roster. Not together, but you either move one of them to that, whatever they're doing, and I think that would work better, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, they're going to have to do some sort of draft. That roster, you know, depending on the TV position that they get. Tony said that he's still very optimistic. He has nothing to announce right now, but he's very optimistic about TV during the scrum. But, you know, you're going to have to bring some heavy hitters. Medium hitters, at least, over there. You can't just have it be, you know, guys you have not seen on TV. So, very curious what they do here. Next matchup, the Elite versus... Sorry.
Death Triangle.
Death Triangle, thank you. I need to catch my breath.
With Don Callis.
With Don Callis. By the way, Don Callis is loafers.
Yeah. You popped for them low. You like that? That was your one tweet of the evening. You were that like, was my check only, out them loafers.
That was my only comment about the night. Don Callis' loafers were chef's kiss. You know what? I'm going to ask Lance. I'm going to message, because Lance and you know, Don are friends. I'm going to ask Lance to find out for me from Don where he gets those loafers, because those are great, like, New Year's Eve loafers.
Mm-hmm.
Where they rock those on New Year's Eve. Easy.
Where'd you get them? I'm sure if you tweeted Don Callis, he'd say, like, I got them somewhere.
Yeah,
you
I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him where he got it.
I got them at Barney's of Canada.
I got them at Barney's. Imagine he talks like that to me, because he's like, listen, the only person he talks to like that is me. The Elite came out, the Kansas Wayward Sons, big pop, Kenny, bigger than ever.
Yeah, them coming out to Carry On My Wayward Son, they need to keep doing it. That number one, that main riff rocks. I've always had a weird obsession with that
Me
song.
Too.
And them, after everything that's happened, I feel like that completely works for those three guys. And you know what? People were wondering, are they going to come back as heels or faces? And this solidifies that they are going to be baby faces for the time being.
Yeah. You know, Kenny is one of the best ever. There's no denying this guy is unbelievable to watch. He was moving so fast. He was moving. I mean, he was really, like, you haven't seen this kind of Kenny in a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, he seems very healthy. Maybe that you know, couple months off really kind of accelerated this feeling better for him. The finish came when Phoenix finally used the bell hammer to stop being put into a one-winged angel. Mm-hmm. And got the pin. Elite loses. Now, where does this go?
Well, you know where it goes. They're doing a best of seven.
They're going to do a best of seven.
Oh, do you, are you looking forward to that?
I don't know. I we'll see. Maybe.
I think between everybody who is involved, it's going to be a fun ride. Now, Nick and Phoenix have ridiculous chemistry.
Yeah, big time. Unbelievable right? chemistry.
So you kind of have three stories here, right? You have Nick and Phoenix, the younger brothers.
The younger brothers, yeah.
Matt and Penta, the older brothers. Also, by the way, on the Spanish commentary, the Spanish announcer was mentioning how jacked Penta is now and that he usually wears a t-shirt.
Is that what they said?
Yeah, they were
But
like,
they also called it a super patatas, right?
Yes, the super kick is the super patata, which, in, you know, in Spanish, patata is kick, right?
Yeah, it, in Greek, it's potato.
It's potato. Yeah.
That's what I got. That's what I got hit with.
My wife heard that and thought they were throwing potatoes at Kenny Omega the entire match.
That would be my move, dude. That would be my manager's. My foreign object would have to be a potato.
You gotta stop talking about them potatoes.
I gotta stop.
Get healthy, man.
So sorry.
So, and then you have that story between Pac and Kenny. I think the chemistry is there, but it could be so much more. So I think in this best of seven, they're going to have some, as fire as that match was last night, I feel like it's going to end with some kind of like really, really bananas exchanges between
but these
both
guys,
teams.
You know, here's my thing. Is every match going to be a stipulation? Are you going to have like, are you going to do comp? Maybe some are tags. I'm curious about this because yeah, their chemistry is dynamic, but how many times in a row can they have that kind of match to make it look different? They can't have the same match every time.
They can't have the same match every time. That's why I think they're going to step it up in like a wild way. Like last night when, and you kind of got like hints of that last night, like the top rope Tijeras to Penta from Nick to the outside. Unbelievable. You know, like all the like double team moves. And yes, I understand people aren't a fan of like the quote unquote choreographed moves. But listen, you have to your timing when six dudes are in the ring, your timing has to be impeccable. And these guys' timing is unbelievable to pull off the stuff that they did.
It's a different style, you know, like, and you need variety, especially on a pay-per-view like this. You can't have every match be a very similar match. Like, this match was very different than the ROH title match, than the main event, than the tag match, than the Darby match. You know, every match has to be a little different. It can't be the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how this goes. But I do feel that main event positioning, Kenny needs to be back in there.
Oh, yeah. At some point.
I think. Soon.
How did you feel about the FCM Punk chance?
Okay, so... very loud FCM Punk chants, very loud. And the Bucks were kind of like looking at the crowd when they were doing it. Did you see that?
Matt gave the crowd a little bit of the,
a little bit of this.
Crowd shops, yeah.
Yeah. So he, all right, we'll see what happens. Maybe that'll continue, maybe not. I don't want CM Punk. Let's get past this. I want to get past it.
Exactly.
Such a damper on the product the whole entire last couple months. So now this is a reset, and I think they did a good job here. Jade Cargill defeated Nyla Rose, retained the TBS title. It was okay. Not a very long match.
I think, like I said at the beginning of the show, they do a great job of keeping matches that shouldn't be long to a nice, tight window.
Yeah. It was all right. You know, whatever. It was what it was. I didn't hate it. I thought it was fine. They did a decent job at this. But...
yeah.
You know, you're coming out of this ridiculous hot match, two really hot matches, three really hot matches back to back. Now you're going into this, so the crowd kind of like simmered down.
I hate to say this, but do you think this was purposely made almost like aping classic WWE, where it was like, this is the quote unquote bathroom break match?
Now, I would say this was a cool me down a little bit, you know, like you got to keep the momentum of that crowd. I think if this was a hot match, nobody would have complained. But I don't. It was never going to be this hot match. It was never. It never was. So I think they did a decent job. I think it was fine. Chris Jericho, Claudio Castagnoli, Brian Danielson, and Sammy Guevara for the Ring of Honor Championship. This was a fun match. Very much.
Very solid.
Jericho with a brutal, brutal jumping, spinning Judas effect at the end.
Yeah.
Landed right on Sammy's freaking leg.
Still got it.
Oh, man. Great match. You know, I think the story is eventually going to be Danielson and him. But there is... Danielson and Jericho. But there was an underlining story here that has continued over the last couple of weeks, and that is the demise of the Blackpool Combat Club. We saw it with Wheeler Yuta. Yeah. We saw it with the obsession over Daniel Garcia wanting to join. We saw how Yuta got annoyed at this. Now we have Claudio and Danielson going at it. So this was an underlining story that they've been telling for a while now.
Absolutely.
And it played out magically on TV this week.
It Chris really
Jericho,
did.
Man, looks freaking fantastic. Dude is in a renaissance era of his career.
Absolutely. I bring this up every so often. Every time you see him wrestle on a big match and do something cool and keep up that momentum, barring being a giant pink dinosaur bride, is he the GOAT?
You know, he really is putting his name in that argument when he retires. I look at it as he's hit Terry Funk status at this point, right? The dude is doing great stuff. Very entertaining. He's lending a hand to this younger generation of talent that's coming in, but he could still go, and he's going to go until he can't. And he's a generational gap, you know, and you need that. You need guys like Sammy Guevara to work with a guy from Chris Jericho's generation because there's a lot to learn. Slow it down, brother. You know, this match, it was a hard-hitting match, but it was slower than the other matches, which I think was a positive. I don't mean it as a negative because the other matches were going a million miles an hour at a million pins.
You know, this style is very interesting because it's that Vince style almost, you know what I mean? But with the added, like, quote unquote, pro wrestling effect, right? Yeah. So like a good moment in that match that you just reminded me of was Jericho in the middle, Claudio on one side and Daniel Bryan on one side. Claudio doing German uppercuts, European uppercuts, and Daniel Bryan doing the same thing. But nice and slow paced, wind up, right? Slow wind up. Boom, here's the hit. Jericho turns into Bryan Danielson. Slow wind up. Boom, here's the hit. You know, and it goes back and forth. That is more storytelling. It preserves the guys more than all the fast paced stuff. But again, there's a place for everything.
Definitely. Next match up. Saraya's first match in 5 years against Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. You know, I watched this match twice. A lot of criticism regarding the performance of Saraya in this match on social media. Oh, I didn't have as many issues as other people did, obviously. And, you know, in the scrum, she said she was rusty. She was trying to take it a little bit easier. The last time when she came back from her injury, she went too hard, and that's why her career ended up getting shortened. I thought it was fine. I thought she did for someone that has not wrestled in 5 years and really has not spent nearly any time in a ring practicing. I know that she was doing some stuff on and off, but she has not done any sort of long-term training for a match. You know what? She looked fine. She was moving well. She was very protective of her neck. Obviously, they told the story of her neck being injured, which I think took a little bit out of the audience because it's a real thing that's now being played into where in the back of your mind, which kind of is the psychology of the match. But I didn't have the issues that a lot of other people did. I think she's going to gradually warm up more doing these type of matches, but for her first match back in 5 years, she looked fine.
Yeah, you know, like, this is one thing where, like, poo-poo on the people who complained, you know, because you have to kind of, like, almost put yourself in that situation. You know, like, what if that was you? What if the thing that you love doing was taken away from you, and then years later, you have to go back to it? You'd be very nervous about it, you know? I also had the theory that we talked about yesterday where I kind of feel like they may have called an audible on this, you know, where they left the finish up to the wrestlers, where at one point, if Saraya wasn't feeling it, she would have said, just pin me, you know, like, that's it.
You know, it was very, somebody said this to me. Someone goes, you know, this was a very, like, very solid main event NXT from 2013.
Oh, sure.
And I was like, you know what? I could kind of see that. A lot Absolutely. Of false, a lot of false pins, right? A lot of pins. Do a move, go for the pin. Do a move, go for the pin. It was, mm-hmm. it was a different style than you see generally.
Oh yeah.
But you know, it's a Saraya match. It's a Paige match. I thought they had very good chemistry. I thought the chemistry was good, and I'm curious to see what they do beyond this.
They do have great chemistry. Now let me ask you another question.
Yeah.
Do you want to see Saraya and Jamie Hayter team up under the wing of William Regal?
Oh, wow. Make like a nice heel little team. That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Ring of Honor. Sorry, Rich.
No. Go ahead. I was going to do the same thing.
Then you do it, please.
Ring of Honor TV champion Samoa Joe defeated powerhouse Hobbs and Wardlow to win the TNT title. Joey Two Belts called it yesterday on the MG Geekathon. Love this match from top to bottom. Also, Samoa Joe makes Wardlow and Hobbs look like high schoolers.
How does that work, huh?
Right?
How does that happen?
It's the Authors of Pain thing, where when the Authors of Pain were on NXT, you're like, yo, these dudes are gigantic. But then when they went to Raw, you're like, these guys aren't gigantic.
Yeah. I thought it was a fun match. The crowd kind of slowed down a little bit for this. Story was Hobbs took the pin. Wardlow did not. So you built the story. Samoa Joe mm-hmm. has two belts now, and Wardlow does not. And that could probably be the match at the Ring of Honor show.
Great. I'm looking forward to that show, by the way.
Me too. I'm expecting the announcement for the TV, personally.
So would you like to see Joe? Would you like to see Joe hold the TV title, the TNT title, and the Ring of Honor world title?
Not all of them. Not all of them. Don't be greedy, Samoa.
Next up,
the next match. Let me talk about this. All right.
Please, yes. Go into it. Go into it.
This match is bonkers. Darby Allin and Sting, Jay Lethal and Double J Jeff Jarrett in a no DQ, no count out match. Hearing My World play in AEW and seeing Jeff Jarrett come out there with his WCW 2000 outfit is so weird to me. It is so bizarre to me to see this. You know, Tony Schiavone was talking about, he's like, you know, the last time we saw Sting and Jeff Jarrett, the last time I was able to call, he was in 2000. And he makes this remark. He doesn't say WCW. He goes, that was 2000 was something. Pretty much alluding to the shit end of WCW's life. Jeff Jarrett looks great. That guy does one of the best punches still in pro wrestling.
Amazing punch. Still has great hair.
Freaking guy. We got a TNA chant.
Yeah, wild, right? You get a TNA chant. Well, because, like, you know, three out of four guys in this match were in TNA.
Three out of four guys were in TNA. And I agree. Actually, Sanjay was also in TNA.
Yes. That absolutely right. Jarrett, great hair. I was debating whether or not he looked more like Mark Twain or Colonel Sanders.
A little of both. Confused.
Great beg-off. One of the best beg-offs.
Best beg-off.
In pro wrestling, you know?
No.
So good. Love the match. I would love to see. And I'm coming around to Satnam Singh. So I tweeted this out yesterday, and I want your opinion on it.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So rename the FTW belt.
Okay.
And call it the Fate of the World belt.
Okay.
Right? Put it on 300-plus pound dudes. So Keith Lee, Santam Singh, Brian Cage, Samoa Joe, Luchasaurus, Lance Archer, Brody King, W. Morrissey, and Billy Gunn.
So have make it the all. Big guy. The big. So like two. You got to be 250 and above.
Let's say 260.
260 and above. Make it the super heavyweight title. Okay.
Yes.
You know
FTW,
what?
FTW, big monster belt, right?
Yeah. I'm into that. And it puts something on the line for the big monsters. Because, like, I don't like big dudes fighting. Like, big dudes. Like Braun Strowman and like
Bobby Lashley?
No, like big giants. I'm talking like bigger dudes.
Let's say you had a match between Braun Strowman and the Great Khali.
And the Great Khali. Yeah, like those guys. I want it to be like a title like that. It would make me more interested in those matches because I have zero interest in those big man matches. Mm-hmm.
Put them like wouldn't you want to see Keith Lee and like all these dudes just like all the big MFers just go at it for like this belt? You know,
yeah, make
it
look like a monster. That's a very creative idea.
Tony Khan, if you're listening.
Creative idea. I like that.
And I know you are.
Someone's got to call Tony. Hey, Tony, listen. My buddy told me the other day, you know that title you got on that kid? You got to give it to the big guys. Can I present it like that? You think he'll like that?
Big guys. From the big guys. So, love the match. Loved the match. Like, I just like seeing Sting. Sting was dressed like, and it's appropriate. Sting was like, if you got in trouble when you were like a teenager and you were like, and you called your uncle and you were like, yo, don't tell my parents, but like, I got to go fight these guys in an alleyway. Your uncle would show up just like Sting was dressed last night.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Black sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Like, cargo black cargo pants and boots.
Fun match. You know, I hope they use Jarrett sparingly.
Mm.
But the dude, you know, he looked good. And Sting is almost 64 years old and he's still doing the shit that he's doing. God bless him. How much longer can he do this? I don't know.
I think he's being very well protected and he knows his limits. Yeah. You know, like I think he's one of those dudes that just like he knows like what he can't do and what he can't do. And he's not going to go out there and be all flashy and shit. But I think he does have those sparks, you know, where he'll do a dive into the crowd or whatever.
So
as
we
far
got
as Jeff Jarrett, go ahead there.
So we got the crowd was into this in and out. You know, it was a little cool. They got into it. You know, there were a lot of fun spots. There was a spot where Darby did the coffin drop and he got caught by Satnam Singh and he put him in the Razor's Edge and he brought him and he did this toss on the outside. I thought it was a fine match. Whatever. It was good for its placing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was fun. You know, it's always great. I don't know if you're of the same mindset. I think all the Mat Men are, where it's fun as hell to see Sting, and you kind of don't care. You're just like, yeah, Sting's doing awesome shit.
Yeah. After we got Jamie Hayter, Toni Storm, AEW Interim Women's Championship. This match had, I thought it was a fine match. The crowd was kind of out of it till the end. But man, when they woke up. When they woke up, they were hot for Hayter. They were so hot for her. The false pins, the false finishes they got, they were eating them all up.
Oh, my God.
I don't think they expected Jamie to win the title. I think they all wanted her to win. But she won. And that crowd, huge pop for her. What did you think of this?
I loved it. I think the start was a little clunky. But when they got into like that final like third act of the match with all the false finishes, I was hooked. And I was like, yo, I don't care who wins at this point. This is so great. And I'm glad Hayter won. You know, like they've been building her up for quite some time. And plus it throws like a little monkey wrench into that whole faction, right? Between Rebel herself and Britt Baker.
Yeah. Because Britt wants that title, right?
Mm-hmm.
They made Hayter into a star, which was the point here. And I'm glad they did because the women's division needs more stars.
Absolutely.
And I think adding Jamie Hayter to that and her winning the title, and now there's the Thunder Rosa scenario still playing out. You got Britt Baker still playing in there. Now you have Saraya in that main event, you know, in that top tier. There's a lot that you could do here, which is a positive. Next match. The acclaimed Swerve in Our Glory. Story of this has been that Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland have not been getting along. Keith keeps telling Swerve, you don't need to cheat to win. And Swerve keeps cheating. Mm-hmm. And Keith Lee got fed up. And set up this. And that was the story here. You can see it coming from a mile away. Now you've set up this interesting scenario where, okay, the Acclaimed have the title. The Bucks are back. FTR should win this title soon.
Yes.
Then you need to do everything on the line with the Bucks with FTR. You have the opportunity to do it now. You got to jump on this. You don't get this opportunity too often. You should jump on this. I don't know when they'll do it, but they should be doing it soon. In my opinion, they should. Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, very good main event, main roster feud for them. This could be a main event on Dynamite. This could be a main event on Rampage. This could be a really good pay-per-view match. I'm okay with this.
I'm okay with it too. I think the nail in the coffin, storyline wise and, you know, like kind of fanboy wise, is you read the writing on the wall when on Wednesday night the Acclaimed did that full blown rap video, you know, where it's like it's now or never, you know, like if we're gonna do something fun and funny to make fun of these guys as a team, we have to do it now because we know they're gonna break up, you know. And as much as I like Swerve and Keith Lee as a tag team, I think they would be better off as opponents.
Yeah, I agree with you too. I think so too. I think you need, part of the problem here is that they're teamed up because they don't know what to do with a lot of these guys. They have a lot of great talent on that roster, but they're kind of sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
huge roster.
It's a huge roster. It's a really big roster, but you need to elevate certain people into positions that people want to care about. I think
Let's do that draft episode.
I know, right? Isn't that interesting? I think they should. Mm-hmm. Main event.
Because again, sorry to cut you off. No, go back. Like if you're doing like that Ring of Honor draft, I would put Swerve on that roster.
I like Swerve on AEW.
Okay, so this is gonna be fun. This is gonna be fun. Yeah, should we make it a Patreon exclusive, or should
we could do that. Yeah, we can do a Patreon thing.
Oh yeah.
Let's go into the main event here. MJF, John Moxley, AEW World's title, World's Championship. World's Heavyweight Championship. John Moxley came out to a big pop, big baby face move. You know, he went back and came out. The crowd reacted. The crowd was so into this. The story of the match was John Moxley was the heel in this match.
Yes.
And MJF was the total baby face. A lot of back and forth. Really good match. At the end, Moxley went to use the ring. Regal told him no.
Mm-hmm. MJF.
MJF, yeah. MJF, Regal told MJF, no, don't use the ring. However, there was a ref's bump. There was another ref bump. Everybody's looking in the back to see who's going to come out. Next thing you know, Regal slides in the brass knucks, MJF lays out Moxley and wins the title.
Love it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. We predicted it yesterday on our MG Geekathon, and it played out so perfectly. And the fact that they mentioned that FCW William Regal Moxley feud made me personally think they're going to pull the trigger on that William Regal heel turn. I thought it was going to come when
they did it.
I think it was like two or three Dynamites ago.
Yeah, when did they say it? Because you brought this up a couple weeks ago, right? Or was it last week? Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think they mentioned it again this Wednesday, but they keep mentioning that, you know, like, oh, you remember in FCW where like I did blah, blah, blah. They didn't mention FCW, but like, oh, I remember years ago when I did the X, Y, and Z. And, you know, like you see Regal in the corner kind of looking at him like, yeah, I do remember that, you son of a bitch, you know? And I think that played out so well last night where it's almost the continuation of Regal versus Moxley, right? Where I can't wrestle, but I got somebody else who's going to make your life completely miserable. You know, I think that's like an interesting little like, wow, this is long-term storytelling at its finest.
Listen, man, MJF is definitely a star in professional wrestling.
Absolutely.
I very well deserved. I think this was the right call. Moxley could maybe take a little bit of a hiatus, take a little break.
He gets his vacation, right?
Does he get his vacation? We'll see. But now the story is, who's the opponent for MJF? This is the first time I don't see one for him, right? Because Hangman is hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know how hurt he is, but he's a little banged up. Adam Cole is still hurt. Who's in line to be a contender for that world championship?
You think they're going to go back to the stats? Because, like, I don't know anybody, as many wrestling fans as I know, I don't know anybody who keeps up with, like, the win-loss stats.
I was. I mean, obviously it's going to be Ricky or Ethan Page, right? But like, I'm saying, like, you know, the one that you're going to build up the feud for. You know, right. I don't think anybody's going to believe. And listen, I think Ethan Page is a total star.
Absolutely.
Right? Like I see it in Ethan Page. I've seen it since I saw him in Evolve. You and I both saw him in Evolve multiple times. And I said, I'm like, this guy is so freaking good. In a couple of years, he's going to be a big name. I think this could be a nice elevation for an Ethan Page. But Ethan Page is not going to take that title off of him, at least not now.
I think, again, with going back to our idea for the draft, I think Ethan Page, put him on that Ring of Honor roster when they do it, you know, take him out of AEW. I think he's, I don't think he's treading water, but I think like he could be a bigger fish in a smaller pond if they moved him to Ring of Honor.
For who?
For Ethan Page? Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking that. I had the same thought as you, Rich, about that, but I'm like, I want him to be elevated now.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a lot of other names that you could do something with, which you haven't.
I have a suggestion for you guys.
Oh!
Oh, my God. Who's this?
Oh,
I think it's my cough medicine that's talking.
I heard it's you, Andrew. Are we having a mass hallucination?
None of this is happening.
So real quick, I think the story, maybe that's why Wardlow lost the TNT title. So he can...
Oh, yeah, I'm an idiot. Yeah, of course. All right, great. You know what? Yeah, of course,
right?
Wardlow would be the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is a natural story to tell.
Also,
and I have another question for you real quick.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You guys. I'm sorry. Where
do I buy toilet paper?
Did you notice... Were you asking yourself, why didn't Regal... he kept telling Moxley to go wake the ref up. I was, why didn't you walk over and wake the ref up? I was yelling at my TV right about then. Did you notice that? And then
I didn't, but that's a good observation.
So I was like, why didn't you go over there? Anyway.
So ideally, storyline wise, this show probably should have ended with MJF getting the title. And then you hear Cult of Personality and CM Punk is at the top of the ramp.
I mean,
right.
In an alternate universe with things working out, sure. Right? In a weird alternate universe. Listen, never say never about the CM Punk stuff. We don't know. Do you know how many people I have fired and I've rehired back? You know, like,
oh, yeah.
I'm so over speculating the CM Punk stuff. I want it to go away. I feel like this company needs a CM Punk sub. We need an answer now because it needs to go away. We need to move on. But Wardlow is the obvious here, right? I would love to see it. But you need to bring, by the way, I think people forgot, okay? New Jersey hates CM Punk.
Yes.
I don't think people realize this. Since the Ring of Honor days, when CM Punk was a baby, it doesn't matter when he was a babyface or heel, even in Ring of Honor, whenever they would go to Jersey, they would boo the shit out of CM Punk in Jersey.
Oh,
I remember this, how it was like a thing on the forums where New Jersey hates CM Punk because he's from Chicago. So I can't believe a 20-some-odd-year-old weird heat on this guy still is continuing in the state of New Jersey.
New Jersey and Long Island are very, very much alike. And I think that's why MJF was cheered so heavily yesterday.
Yeah, big time. Big time. Listen, man, I thought it was a solid pay-per-view. I believe Tony said that the streaming numbers were the same or on par with All Out. So I would anticipate this would have around the same number for buys as All Out, which was $125 to $135, which is a very solid number. It was a million plus gate, once again, the first one for Full Gear, which is a very positive here.
Awesome.
Overall, people very much enjoyed the show. I thought it was a very fun show, maybe a little long, but this ended whatever nonsense was going on over the last couple months.
Absolutely.
And now we have hit the reset, and we are back, and hopefully they'll be able to go beyond and continue something outside of the CM Punk nonsense.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think the return of the Elite really did something for crowd morale, you know. And I personally was like, you know what? At this point, I'd rather see these guys in CM Punk. You know, like, these guys make me happy. Whenever I see the Bucks and Kenny on the screen for years, I'm like, you know, these guys genuinely make me happy as a wrestling fan. And it's funny, too, because there are fans of the mindset. And I have friends who will text me like, yo, I hate the Young Bucks, but I love them. And I hate Kenny Omega. I don't get it. And then in the same sentence, they'll be like, well, yo, he's mad good.
you know what? Lewis in our chat room said it perfectly. In an alternative universe, MJF beat CM Punk in Chicago last night for the title.
She's Jersey.
Yeah. This was in the alternate universe. This was that and CM Punk would have been booed out that freaking building. If after that promo in the scrum and he does not get hurt, he still does that promo. There is no fight. That man is booed out that building.
Absolutely. 100%. And Mox would have been on a nice vacation with his red pajama pants.
Absolutely. You want to do like five quick questions and then we'll wrap it up. We'll end it because I got to go and go record another show that I'm not supposed to record right now.
Absolutely. This one's from Scar Happy. Guys, submit your questions. MG, add the questions to the queue, please. I noticed that there's only one question in the queue.
Hey, also.
Please.
If the all-out pay-per-view from 2021 was an AEW 10 for pay-per-views, right? That is their best pay-per-view that they've ever had, correct? Mm-hmm. All Out 2021. Yeah. If that's a 10, where does this fall for you? Give me your out of 10 number. Was it an 8 out of 10? Was it a 7 out of 10? Was it a 9 out of 10? Curious to know in the chat. All right, let's go into questions.
Again, guys, submit your questions. If you want to super chat us, you'll get your question answered ahead of time, blah, 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 blah. So this is from Scar Happy. Question for the end of the show. Pay-per-view ordering on YouTube, when did this start? I was surprised when they announced this option last night.
Yeah, I love that, actually. I don't know when this started. I think this might have been the first one. I would prefer it on YouTube, to be honest, instead of BR Live. Because I already have YouTube TV.
Okay.
So I would have loved it.
I didn't notice that, but yeah, sure. Let's see. This is one from MCASP PDO64. Will house shows help AEW next year?
I don't know. You know, I think it might be a little bit of a fun experiment for them to do smaller venues in new markets to see the viability of business in those markets. You know, you could do 1,000-person buildings, 1,500-person buildings and pack that place out and see what the demand is for larger scale arenas. I think AEW is going to benefit from having Jeff Jarrett help with the live event side of things because they have done a ton of repeats in 2021 and 2022 with venues, and it has hurt them. But you look at 2023 already, the first month or two, they are expanding. They're going into new markets. So I think Jarrett will 100% help pick venues. They've also made the mistake of going with much smaller venues when they could have done larger venues. You know, New York doing Arthur Ashe was a not an anomaly, but I think it was a lucky pick of an arena for them. It was out of necessity. They wanted to run a show in New York City. There are no venues that they could run in New York City that could fulfill, you know, at least 7,000 people outside of the, you know, where are you going to put them? You're not going to do the Palladium. You're not going to do, well, I'm saying New York City, right? In the city itself. There's no, you only have, you know, that stupid building in Brooklyn that I absolutely hate. And you have the Garden.
Barclays Center.
You have that. You have that piece of garbage arena in Brooklyn, and you have Mecca.
It's really not that bad. You just hate to travel there because it's impossible to get to.
No, it's so steep that goddamn the seats suck. There's no bad seat in the Garden, unless you're like an obstructed view seat. I don't like that arena. I have a major problem. I hate that arena. Sorry,
I've seen
the cough medicine's putting me in a delusion.
I've seen two Nets games there and a Rush concert there. And I like the arena.
I will never go back there. I probably will go back. But you really don't have options. So it was a happy mistake, and it happened and it worked. But UBS is another building that they could go back to, which is, but you're oversaturating the same market. So I think the house shows is an approach to kind of test these markets without committing to, you know, an 8,000 person building in a new market without having proper, you know, a proper gauge on how you'll do there. So this is fine. I'm okay with it. You got banned from the barn?
Yeah, I'm assuming it's the same one that Lewis is talking about. There's a barn in Huntington, and my band got banned from the barn.
Did you get into a bar fight?
No, a bunch of this is a very dumb excuse, but it's the truth. A bunch of teenagers showed up after the show we put on and littered the entire place with their beer bottles, not ours. Like, wow. We cleaned up the entire place spotless, and because these people showed up later and made a mess of the place, we got blamed. And then I had to call the town council and be like, hey, we cleaned everything up. And they were like, oh, who made the mess? And we were like, teenagers. And they're like, likely story. Oh, you know what I mean? And yeah. I'm like, you guys are a rock and roll band and you're blaming teenagers.
And you had your long hair there then, right?
It's the truth. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to find pictures of that hair.
You did look like a young Mick Foley at one point.
At some point, yeah, I did. You did. I missed the long hair. My hair at one point was down to my belly button.
Oh, and I missed that, Rich.
Ah, man. The memories. Anyway, let's move on to another question.
Two more shows. Yeah, two more questions.
Yeah, let's do two more shows, dude.
Two more shows.
This is from Mac Andrew. How many potatoes would it take to power the toaster you hold above the tub?
Dude, that's a great question. So, if you daisy chain 11 potatoes and you plug that thing right in and you drop it in the toaster, I actually gain my powers that way. That's the way to reverse my illness. So it takes 11 potatoes.
Just a straight up 11. Not a baker's dozen. Not a dozen.
Not a baker's dozen. No, 11. Nothing more, nothing less.
What we got here? This is a domestic butler. How long do you think it will be before AEW does a pay-per-view in England? 2023.
I don't know about a pay-per-view, but I expect them to do a show, a big show in 2023 in England.
They announced that already.
Did they?
Yeah. They were they're doing the UK show in 2023.
Okay.
I think it's going to blow everybody's minds.
But you know what? They could do a big building. They could do the O2. They could do some fun stuff in the UK.
Let's see. This is from Pro Wrestling Joe. Do you have any updates on Warner Brothers Discovery and AEW's next TV deal? Do you expect AEW to get a big bag here?
That's a great question. I know that it's going well. Warner Brothers Discovery is happy with AEW. You know, they have been, you know, when you look at the ratings, right? Like last week they had a bad week, but when you look at their overall ratings for the station, they really benefit from AEW. Yeah. They do. And the same thing with USA. USA would be in the shits if it wasn't for WWE and their ratings. So AEW is a positive contributor to the network. They know the importance of that key demo. They know the importance of live programming for sure, considering TBS is all replays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a little bit of a dispute with the NBA right now. I believe the CEO, the president said that, or whoever it was, said that they could afford to lose the NBA. They don't need the NBA.
So, interesting.
I think if they were to lose the NBA, then AEW would be way more beneficial to them. I don't think they're going to get this giant bag of money. I think they're going to get an incremental increase with maybe... My own speculation, maybe something else given, you know, maybe a better streaming positioning, maybe something with HBO Max, something. There's going to be a give and take here. I don't think they're going to get, you know, $200 million a year for their product.
Yeah.
But they are going to get something. They will get an increase, in my opinion. I can't see them not getting an increase because of how well they've performed for this company.
That's a very, very fair assumption.
But, you know, there is something to be said about Warner taking a little piece of this company, too.
Of AEW?
Yeah.
You know, I keep thinking, like, in my head, and, you know, apart from the business stuff, I keep thinking I just want, like, an in-demand service. You know, like, I want, like, some kind of, like, accessibility to old Dynamites and pay-per-views.
Yeah. Yeah, and almost, we don't have it.
Almost like a WWE Network.
Almost like a WWE Network. There you go. All right, one more.
All right, and then let's see what we got here. Pay-per-view in England, TV deal. This is from Pro Wrestling Joe. Is there a chance we ever see Kylie Rae back in AEW? I'm losing faith.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know much on the Kylie Rae situation.
Let's see. Let's have this last one. Question. How long? This is from Domestic Butler. How long do you think MJF will hold on to the belt before he loses to Wardlow? I can see him holding it for a year.
No, I don't think a year. I think he'll hold it a few months. I don't know. Not maybe. When's the next pay-per-view? Revolution?
So 3 or 4 months from now? 3 months from now?
Yeah, 3 months from now. So
maybe Double or Nothing.
Maybe till Double or Nothing. Yeah, maybe he could hold it till Double or Nothing.
Yes, I think he can hold until Double or Nothing. And I do think what would be cool is for once they do like a fatal four-way or something, like lead up to that.
You really upped his value in that negotiation, huh, in 2024?
Oh, yeah. Right?
You know? Wouldn't WWE chomping at the bits to get you know, an AEW homegrown world champion?
Absolutely.
Smart man, MJF. Very smart man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think he's going anywhere, though. I think he's a lifer.
Listen, maybe hope so.
But maybe in 2 years, the grass will be greener on the WWE side.
Things change so fast, man. Things change. Did you ever think Cody was going back? I don't think anybody had that on that prediction in January.
I did. I 100% did. I think, like, just because of the stuff that they did for Dusty, you know? Like, he has always had faith in something with WWE, you know? Like, they saved his family's, like, financial life, you know?
Yeah. Very interesting stuff. All right, Rich.
All right, Andrew.
I'm leaving.
All right, me too.
All right, guys, that's it for this week. We'll see you all later. Thank you.
Later. Mwah.